Now, we see this every now and then, newsman. A politician tries their hand at a sport.
It can be disastrous. It's like dealing with children and animals. It can be unpredictable if you're not an expert at something and you're put under pressure with cameras watching. Anything can happen.
You just shouldn't do it. You wonder why they persist. Probably most famously was when John Howard tried bowling a cricket ball somewhere. I think it was overseas.
Yeah, I reckon he was on the subcontinent. A cricket lover. Cricket tragic. So this guy loves the sports. Not like he is pretending to have an interest in something. Mm. Rolled over his arm. I think he saw himself as a spinner. I think tried to grip the ball. His little Johnny hand gripping the ball.
Yeah.
Tried to get some work on the ball and it landed at his feet and sort of rolled down the pitch.
Almost bounced behind him.
And he was just such an awkward guy at the best of times, so that just was pretty awkward.
Was that during the height of the Shane Warne era?
Possibly.
So spin bowling was the thing. We had the guy who was the best who'd ever done it. Howard loved it, tried it, and, you know, you've got to remember, we all know now what happened, but at the time, I guess, we thought, oh, well, this will be interesting, see what happens here.
Yeah, even if it's a full bunger down the pitch, we'll be happy.
Worse than anyone could have ever predicted.
It even sort of infiltrated suburban cricket. I remember training with a guy and he dropped it at his feet and everyone said, you bowled a Johnny.
So. You've done a Johnny. Now we have Malcolm Turnbull, current Prime Minister, has had a go at basketball. And if you've seen the video, you'll know he tried to shoot a basket and it was a major disappointment. If I could offer some feedback to the Prime Minister, he did look to be taking it as a netball shot.
Yeah.
He's standing almost directly under the hoop. He's not moving his feet. He's kind of balancing it in one hand. It looks, for all the world, like a netball shot.
He's not at the foul line. So the foul line shot is still, for your average punter, a bit of a challenge. He's only, what, a metre from the ring?
Yeah, very close.
A metre and a half, maybe.
Very close.
No loop in the shot.
No, just pop it up there. And he's basically shot it directly into the bottom of the ring, and it's bounced back almost into his own face, almost. Mm.
Bottom of the ring, no good.
No, so
level with the ring,
yeah.
Rookie mistake. Top, bouncing on, you know, you're just not great at it.
Even if it bounced around the ring or hit off the backboard, that would have been okay.
The underside of the ring is not acceptable.
No, this is the worst possible outcome. And then you think of, I'm sure I've seen Barack Obama when he was president, just, you know, shooting three-pointers from all around the place.
Yeah, he was cool at everything.
He obviously knew how to play basketball. So, fine, let the cameras roll. But Malcolm Turnbull must have known that it was a chance it wasn't going to work for him.
Do you think that our brains forget what we're capable of? Because I've found over the years, I'm probably not getting out and having a kick of the park, you know, getting out to the park and having a kick of the footy. Yeah. My coordination's not quite as good as it was in my 20s.
No.
So he's probably going, oh, yes, I was in the thirds at so-and-so Snobbo College, and I shot 6 points once.
Yeah, no, he would have been playing polo, not basketball.
True.
But I know what you're saying. They obviously all feel like they can have a crack at it.
Mm.
And they obviously shouldn't, because this never works. And to be fair to the politicians, it never works in the opposite either. When an athlete tries their hand at politics, but that never works either.
No, absolutely. There's been a few occasions where it looks like it can be doable, but there are always journos out there, and I'm not blaming it all on the journalist, but I'm saying there are a lot that want to prove that this person is not credentialed to be in the job. Can you think of any in particular that are...
Oh, I love the Mal Meninga rugby league legend. Announced he was running for office, and then in the exact same press conference, which was his first one ever, at the same time as announcing he was running, he also pulled out of the race within the space of the same press conference. So that's a classic moment. Love that.
probably best. It was like a ripping a Band-Aid. You could see there's just there was like a second where his mind is gone. This is far beyond my reach. It's time to get out now. And I've made that clear.
I've made a terrible mistake.
Now, footy show watchers would, they know they bring up embarrassing clips of the football players of their past. Bill Brownless actually, for a short time, I think, was looking at running for politics, but faced a media conference, and I think they brought up some sort of issue, whether it was to do with the Geelong area or a national topic, GST or something, and they asked him about it, and he just looked dumbfounded. So
yeah, I don't
very awkward.
I don't remember that, but I can't imagine Bill Brownless really giving a great answer on a GST question.
I'm not sure the issue, but yeah, he was out of his league. Just yeah, wasn't prepared for it.
Surprised he was even running, but going back the other direction, I have this memory of on a local front of Jack Snelling being photographed in a boxing
ring. This is correct.
Was he a boxer?
I think he did it as a fitness thing.
Yeah.
But of course, someone picked up on it and thought this would be a great photo opportunity.
Yeah.
And,
well, the still shots are a politician's friend.
Mm.
Like, have yourself photographed doing something, but it's the video footage you don't want. Because imagine it'd be fun to see Snelling, you know, take on like a mixed martial artist or something, in some kind of stunt. But it wouldn't pan out well for him. You wouldn't.
Unfortunately, these media opportunities for politicians can be very damaging, because we want the perfect combination of someone who is intelligent, smart, on top of everything, but we want to identify with them as well. And to see Malcolm Turnbull hit the bottom of the ring with a basketball, we're just like, well, you're not your average knockabout bloke, are you? Yeah.
No. You've spent your life building your career, and you've had little time for anything else since your school days, probably.
So we're judging the PM on a basket that went wrong.
Yep.
I'm happy to do so.
Mark, I saw a story online this week that really caught my attention. The etiquette rules to follow when you're eating at a restaurant.
Okay. Are you a big restaurant goer?
Not so much these days. Every now and then. But I enjoy it every chance I get.
Yeah. I'm probably not a classy guy, so I'm sure I'm going to strike out in most of these lists. My definition of getting classy is having pepper gravy on my schnitzel instead of plain. But I'm looking forward to seeing if I am doing the right thing in restaurants.
Yeah, well, some of these I'm doing. A couple of them I am absolutely not. So tell me what you're doing. But here's number one. Now, so this is how you conduct yourself at a restaurant. Wait to be seated. Okay, sounds obvious. You know, those places, if you're going, there's usually somewhere, I guess, a bit more classy.
Mm, yeah.
They will lead you to a table.
Yes,
you don't
they
just,
do.
You know, just bowl in and, you know, pick a spot. That makes sense. But if it's one of those places, apparently, even if a restaurant offers to seat you before everyone's arrived, you know, you might be dining with some friends.
Yes.
You're waiting for them to arrive. It's polite to wait for your entire party to arrive before you go and sit down.
So you go, no, I'll just wait here until web guy gets along.
Exactly. Do you do that?
Not at all.
I've never done that.
I figure I'm there first, I'll get the prime seat, and I will look superior as I wait for the person as they arrive.
You're just sitting at your table tapping your watch as your friends come in.
Yeah, I do that. I never thought of that being impolite, but I can see why it's nice for you all to come in together.
Yeah. I might try it next time, because it can be a bit awkward if you're already sitting there, your friends come in, it's like, oh, okay, do I get up out of my seat and shake hands or hug? Or
I have been the second person as well, and it's also awkward for the staff because you see, okay, obviously, web guy Tim is over at table 12. Probably doesn't have table 12 if it's a fancy restaurant. But I see that you're there, and I almost want to just walk straight over. I don't need to be seated.
But
then you go, oh, yeah. This is my table.
Yes.
I'm booked into that one.
Don't worry, ma'am. I know where I'm going.
So I see merit in that one.
Yeah, I'm actually going to give that one a go, I think.
Mm.
Wear proper clothes. Obvious.
Uh-huh.
Although, not so much a problem, I find. Maybe you've got to be going somewhere real. I mean, where in Adelaide would you go where just, you know, normal clothes would not be acceptable? And by normal clothes, I mean maybe you're wearing jeans.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Where in Adelaide could you not wear jeans?
There'd probably be a few restaurants that wouldn't feel great.
Adelaide has the number one restaurant in Australia, just recently named.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called again? On Rundle Street. It's Rockstar Chef Juxonfilo.
Okay.
Has a restaurant called something or other. God, I can't remember. I can't believe I can't remember it. So, you know, it's been named the best restaurant in the country. And I feel going there, you could get away with wearing whatever the hell you want.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever been in a formal occasion, though, where someone has dressed a little bit down and you think, that's a bit disappointing? Perhaps a wedding or something and they've gone the jeans with a nice shirt or something.
Oh, I don't think I've seen anyone at a wedding wear jeans.
I'm going to the wrong weddings.
That would be funny.
But just things like that where you go, could have made a bit more of an effort.
Yeah,
You've picked up the wrong vibe of this event.
Yeah. You just don't want to be that person, do you? Another obvious one, don't leave the phone on your table. Do you do that?
No.
Nah, I don't think I do that.
No, I reckon I put it away.
I see it done, though.
Mm.
Fairly common.
It's something to be aware of, though. Like, generally, I'm like, yep, I don't need to speak to anyone at the moment.
Mm.
But then you can get into the, oh, I want to take photos. And
That's
probably another faux pas about to come up.
Well, no, but that's why I like these lists, because there's so many awkward social moments and faux pas. I'd like to get clear on what we should not be doing and what we should be doing. And this is one I've agonized over for a long time. If you go somewhere, I guess it is a bit more fancy. Often the waiter will drape the napkin over your own lap.
Yep.
I hate that.
Yeah.
So I devised a plan pretty early on where you just quickly put your own napkin down.
Right, yeah. That's
so you do it. You do it yourself.
Yes.
Then the waiter's coming around, putting everyone's napkin down. They get to you, like, oh, already done.
Here's another one. I'll pick it up.
Never had that happen. It just feels weird to me, though.
It is a weird tradition, but if you're going for the full dining experience of someone doing that, you know, they're waiting upon you.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Sensitive area for you, like you don't want to. People throwing hankies down there?
No, it's more the
the awkwardness.
It's more, you don't have to do that.
But, yeah, okay.
They go into more detail on this point here, though. If you excuse yourself to use the restroom, place the napkin on the chair. So, obviously you don't take the napkin to the restroom. If you're doing that, stop. But put it on the chair.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I misstep there because I'll just pop it up on the table.
Yeah.
Should be on the chair.
I guess if would the theory be behind that, if you've sort of cleaned up your face, you don't want a dirty napkin. If only we could have this vision of me daintily touching the sides of my lips.
Oh, man. Classic. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm the same
as you. Put it on the table.
But you apparently only do that. You're only meant to do that once the meal's finished.
Okay.
Up on the table at the end. Wait for everyone to be served before you start eating. Do you do that?
I always attempt to. Oh no, I'd say most times I attempt to. But the Aussie thing is, nah, you start. It'll get cold.
Yeah. Very much depends who you're with, I think.
Yeah, and possibly that. Once again, it comes to the atmosphere of the restaurant, and if it's a big occasion, you probably will hold off. And
yeah. I feel like there's an unspoken rule, though, that, I mean, if you are at a pub, usually, you wait for everyone's meal to arrive before you start eating, but you're allowed to start on the chips.
I thought that was going to be very posh and highbrow, but I like that.
Yeah.
You're allowed to nibble on the chips.
Yeah.
Wait for the meat.
I might have just made that rule up, but
I think that's a pretty common practice. I didn't know it was you were doing it out of politeness. I like that.
It's an appendix to the restaurant rules.
How about people off or taking a chip as they wait?
Well, off someone else's plate.
Yeah.
You got to know them pretty well.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't call out to your waiter. Yep. Don't do that.
No, that doesn't sound good.
Instead, make eye contact.
Yep,
I've done that. Yeah, or raise the hand.
Signal
for the check.
Yes.
And then pay with credit card. That confuses everyone.
Yes.
Maybe we should update that signal to a swiping of the motion.
Yes, you know? Or a, what do you call that? Pay wave.
Yeah. Just wave your hand like a
No,
wand.
I think every waiter knows that just a little lift of the eyebrow means I need your attention. Probably the end of the meal.
Yeah, no, they're on the lookout for that anyway, aren't they?
Yep.
Everyone should order the same number of courses.
No. What if I don't want soup?
Yeah. No, you gotta get it straight with everyone. Make sure you're all doing the same thing. We're all having dessert, or we're all having entree, or
just quickly back to the one where you all wait for everyone to have the same meal. A good restaurant will get the meals out pretty quickly, won't they?
Yeah.
So you're not waiting too long.
No. Maybe it's old fashioned, but I feel like they used to maybe stall bringing the meals out so you'd buy more drinks or something.
Yeah.
Now they just want to, you know, churn through the customers, get you in, get you out. Now speaking of, you know, pre-organizing with your fellow diners, you got to have sorted the number of courses you're going to have. You also need to have organized whether you're going to pay the whole bill. You know, I don't know how many people are offering to pay the entire bill for a table. But if that's you, tell them up front.
Danger, yep.
Otherwise, work out what you're doing. Not everyone splits the bill, but... And also, their advice is don't so much, you know, calculate line by... itemize the count. Just, you know, just divide it by 2, 3, whatever, how many there are.
Yeah.
Do you have a position?
It's been an awkward one because... I think naturally, I will not always get. I can't always afford, or I don't always go for the most expensive.
Yeah,
and then you pay for you pay for everyone else. So you might as well go. I'm going. Therefore, I'm just going to get the most expensive thing, just in case it's a group payment, and therefore I will only have to pay what I pay for.
You don't want to be subsidising some guy's Scotch fillet.
but if it's only, you know, $5 here or there,
yeah.
But,
most places split the bill now anyway. That's pretty good. That's the best thing.
A good thing I've always thought, we've had a few awkward moments where everyone's like, well, I owe $25.50. And,
yeah.
And it's like, bring cash.
Yeah.
Just everyone bring cash.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be, well, you pay me, I'll transfer it to there.
Yeah. No, if you're going to get finicky about it, yeah, have your cash handy. I did not know this one. Leave within 15 minutes of finishing your meal.
15?
15 minutes.
It's pretty short.
They say if you want to keep the fun going, you know, go somewhere else. Like, go for drinks somewhere else. But get out of there.
We always linger. The meal buys me the right to sit at a table.
It buys you the right.
How about you? I think that's part of the enjoyment.
I have to admit, I've stayed a lot longer than 15 minutes.
I guess it depends. Like, if you're turning up at a very busy restaurant at 6, they probably got bookings for, 7:30 for the same table, or...
I feel like restaurant staff are very good at putting an unspoken vibe out there.
Right, if starting pulling...
Or putting chairs away, or
cleaning,
yeah. Or they'll ask you, can we get you anything else? And then 1 minute later, they're back. Can we get you anything else? And then another minute later, are you sure we can't get you anything else? You know... They're pretty good at letting you know. If you're awake to the cues, they're letting you know what you should be doing.
But 15, okay, that's pretty tight, but something to be aware of.
Finish on one that will be helpful for you. Did you know you're meant to hold your wine glass by the stem?
Yes.
What else are you going to hold it by?
Well,
I thought that was a weird one.
I guess you could just grab it by the goblet. Is that what you call it, or the...
Grab it like it's a premiership cup and just...
That's right.
Drink from the... Slurp the wine down.
Yeah. Sometimes I've been known to grab it from the big... What do you call that big bit?
Oh, the bulb?
The bulb.
That's not right.
But then, like, I realise once I'm doing it, it doesn't feel like it should be there. So slip down to the stem. And...
Yeah, it's not a beer. So there we go. Some things for us to work on. Hopefully that's helpful. How to conduct yourself at a restaurant.
I'm going to too many pubs. I need to get into the fine dining.
Nah, keep going to pubs. Life imitates art, newsman. I think people say that.
Yes, they do.
I guess it means something that you would see in an artwork, or only in an artwork, you would have thought, happens in real life.
Absolutely.
We have a great example of that. Happened a couple of years ago, but in the news this week because a documentary has been made about this. It's really an outlandish scenario. Improbable.
Improbable.
Yeah. Doco's been made about it. We see a trailer for it this week. So it's in the news. All about how a TV show, a US TV show, played a pivotal role in clearing a murderer.
I'm intrigued.
So the show is called Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. For those who aren't familiar with this one, it wasn't so big, was it, in Australia?
I don't think it's big in Australia. One of my all-time favourites, but I got it, we'll say, semi-legally. Okay, completely illegally. wasn't huge here, but
often on late at nights, I reckon.
Late at night, yeah. But a cult classic, you'd probably say, and in America, it's quite big. It stars this Larry David guy, who most people know or would know his work from. This guy co-created the Seinfeld show, which was known as Seinfeld.
And basically, he plays himself, and the. He very much, I think he said the character of George Costanza was loosely based on him or part of him. So
not even loosely, I don't think.
Oh, not even loosely. So a lot of scenarios where self-indulgent, selfish, but realistically, where you think, maybe I'd do that as well.
Yeah, he plays this, he calls it sort of like, you know, a heightened version of his real self where he's just kind of rude because he basically just sort of says and does what we all probably think and wish we could do, but he kind of gets away with it. One, because it actually is still a fictional show, and also he's you know, like an aging millionaire TV you know, rock star from Seinfeld fame, but you know, got successful late in life, so he's still kind of got his, you know, feet on the ground.
It didn't seem a highly produced show either. It looked fairly cheap and nasty. Maybe that was part of the charm of it, and deliberately made so. But how on earth did that show, with not a massive following, have such an impact?
Okay, yeah, so a lot of it's ad-libbed, so they improvise a lot. And the hallmarks of this show are basically, you know, ridiculous coincidences and a couple of storylines running that then at the end, you know, similar to Seinfeld, all meet up
together
in a satisfying climax. So in real life, it turns out now, we have, on the one hand, this millionaire comedian filming his famous TV show. And on the other hand, we have a 24-year-old local LA guy jailed for murder. How do these storylines come together in real life? Well, the Curb team were filming an episode at Dodger Stadium in LA, based at a baseball match. It's about how Larry decides to pick up a prostitute from off the side of the road so he can then use the carpool lane to get to the game.
Sounds very atypical episode, yes.
Yeah. That's you know, that's what you're kind of looking at with this show.
Yeah.
Then in so that's actually happening in real life. Then also in real life, a guy is charged, convicted and jailed for a murder, and all along he's saying, "I didn't do it. It's not me." You know, as everyone would say.
Yes.
But the whole time he said, I was at a baseball game, you know. Like, how could have I done the murder if I was at a baseball game? Anyway, they couldn't prove it. He went to jail. But meanwhile, his lawyer was beavering away from him. The guy had told his lawyer that he thought he remembered seeing a film crew at the baseball game that day.
Yes.
So the lawyer's going through, you know, tons and tons of footage from this show. He asked, you know, Larry David, can I go through the footage, got the okay, he's going through it. There's 56,000 people in this stadium on this day watching this baseball match. The lawyer is going through the, you know, hours and hours of footage that the film crew recorded just on the off chance, you know, you might catch a glimpse of the guy who says he was at the game when the murder happened. And boom, it happened. He finds a shot of the guy at the baseball game, like in the background of the episode.
Have you seen it? Have you, or is that part of the...
I've seen a still of it.
if he was your friend, would you recognise him? Is it that, or is it a...
He's in a, it's a crowd shot. Larry David's sort of walking up the steps of the stadium, crowd shot in the background. There must, in that frame, there must be 50 odd, maybe 60 plus people.
Okay, so it's not a wide range shot.
No.
Zooming in on a tiny little dot. It's...
No, and I guess that's why he remembered there was a film crew there, because he was kind of in the mix of it.
Mm.
So, like, you sort of Larry David's there and you can see him, like, over the shoulder. But still, I mean, that is the needle in the haystack, surely, to have picked that out. So anyway, they found, so that's evidence.
Yeah.
The guy's done 5 months in jail for the murder. They find the video. He's cleared. He's released. He picks up about a $300,000 settlement.
I was going to say, you've said you're not guilty. Oh, is that the game?
Yep.
You still get jail.
Yep. So he's tied it. He's pocketed a sum for it. But, you know, amazing story. They should make a documentary about it, because what are the chances of that happening?
It is... As we mentioned previously, the show itself, it just fits so perfectly, doesn't it? That things have happened and it just accidentally stumbles forward and there you go.
It it could be an episode of the show. Ever seen yourself in a crowd shot?
Yeah, I'm a bit of an egomaniac. I like to occasionally they've trialed cameras at local stadiums in Adelaide and done the whole 360 shot.
Not like the Kiss Cam.
No. No.
Okay.
And first of all, you know, you look at it at first instance, you go, there's no way I can spot myself. But you know pretty well where you are, and you zoom.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really see your details of your face, but you might be able to see sunglasses and a hat or something like that. I remember going to a test cricket match.
Hang on.
Yes.
Enough to get you off a murder charge? Would it be enough to be used as evidence in a court of law?
Well, I have a feeling I've got a fairly plain face. Skinny guy, glasses, probably could... Yeah, borderline.
It would need to be conclusive, wouldn't it?
Maybe get me off a parking ticket or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Been to a very lowly populated test match at the Adelaide Oval, and boy, oh boy, did I get some airtime. Because no sort of close-ups, but, you know, the pan shot of the crowd, and there I was with my brother just sitting by ourselves.
So. Dressed up as Richie Benaud.
The thing I like about this story... is in the newsroom we see a lot of criminals that are busted because there's vision of them either breaking into a premises or police have released vision, or these are the people leaving in a car. Cameras are not a criminal's friends.
No.
Or a person's friends. Well, and it shows, well, a camera can be your friend if you're not guilty.
It makes me worry, though, about how many other people might be incorrectly... in jail as we speak for crimes they didn't commit that they couldn't get out of because they didn't happen to have been on the scene for the filming of a TV show.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, so there was no footage of him from just the game footage. Like, they couldn't find any of that. Are we not sure on that one?
Well, no, I don't know. It's a fair question.
But maybe they needed that close-up sort of shots to really get in and...
Yeah, if he had have been caught in the broadcast footage, you think they would have found that. It would have been easy to find him.
They probably would have gone to that first, but maybe he said, we've got this camera.
Yeah, but, you know, everyone documents their lives so much now.
Mm.
Maybe it is going to make things easier in terms of alibis and where were you on the night of the murder? Well, sir, you can see I checked in on my Facebook
account. Well, pretty much with every police investigation, they can almost... piece together the movements of someone through, okay, we'll take the security vision from Rundle Mall, and then he must have gone this way or that way. Take footage from Hungry Jack's, then the Austral has footage, and then he can trail someone that way. So yeah, really, cameras can be there to save you as a crim or put you behind the bars. Or behind bars.
The bars.
I'm a hardened criminal.
You know the lingo.